Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Guess who's back? Back again. Oh, Hannah started singing in the kitchen. That ruined it. I didn't mean to go quite so high-pitched just then, but it happened and now it's committed to the podcast. This is Ready Player 2, episode 90. 90. We are 10 episodes away from episode 100. This is ridiculous. For anybody who is watching on the stream, you already know that I'm here, because I'm talking. Actually, people on the podcast who are listening audio only know that I'm here as well. I'm Rich. Hi! I'm waving on the stream. So if you're on Twitch, you can see me waving. That's value add. We also have Elle.
Yay! I waved for those listening on audio only.
And Mr. Lewis Knight.
Hello.
It's difficult not to wave, isn't it? Now that we know that we're on camera, you've got to wait. You have to do it. I think also, maybe we need to come up with some gesture.
Pointing is...
On my screen, while I'm streaming, my pointing is factually accurate. Everything's also fine. So don't worry about that one there. We had to put a dummy thing in.
And then L is...
It's all fine. The pointing will probably change as the podcast progresses. So, there are three of us this week. We have returned to talk about game-related things, and we do actually have game-related things to talk about. Mine, less so than other people's. But we have news stuff to talk about as well, and some newsy, excitey bits that I need to talk about, or at least talk over people. So, first thing we want to do is talk about a game that one of us has played, rather than we can't go straight into news, because we don't normally do news, and this is a bit weird for us. So, Elle, would you like to talk about what you've been playing this week?
Let's talk about Octopath Traveler. Yeah! So, that was a level of excitement that the game might not deserve. Let's start off there.
Okay, good.
But after, I think it was last week, we talked about turn-based combat, and I felt the hankering for turn-based combat again.
Yep.
I think I've talked about Octopath Traveler before on this podcast. It's a game that's out on the Switch. As I've said before, turn-based combat. Switch, it has been amazing for traveling around. So taking the train into work, I can just hour on the train. Brilliant multitasking.
An hour on the train?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I know,
that's
right?
That's a committed commute, that is.
Yeah.
I know. Sad times. I used to sleep, but now I play games.
That's optimizing your time, Elle.
It is optimizing
exactly
my time.
That's exactly what that is.
You get to start off with a choice of characters. There are 8, funnily enough, thus the title. Each of them have different like backstories and abilities.
That makes more sense now. I was thinking more octopus than
Octodad.
Hands up. 100% thought it was about an octopus.
I mean, yeah. To be fair, that would be on brand for me.
Yeah.
It's about a lone octopus. No. There are 8 travellers, each of them with different skills. And you go around solving their stories. It is your classic little turn-based RPG adventure. It's rather slow, I'm not going to lie. It has taken a little bit of time to get into it, but I think it's a grower. I think I might enjoy it more as time goes on. Because at the moment, I'm not very emotionally invested in the characters at all, but it could be because I'm quite a difficult person.
You've got to have that. You've got to have that. And any turn-based game or any game that's going to go really, really slow like that, if you're not... You've either got to have emotional investment or like invested in the story.
Yeah.
Or you need to be like so engrossed in some other aspect of the game, like loot collection or something else that you really, really want to do. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, I don't really want to go back to this. It's so slow and so boring.
I think it uses the flashback mechanic a little bit too much for me, for my liking.
What's that?
So, you know, when you're storytelling and you're like, I need to put in some backstory. Oh, let us go to 3 years prior. Or this was when I was a lad. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Can we not just live this experience? So, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded, but we'll see.
So this is a mini indie game? What's this like?
No, it was developed by Squeenix. Square Enix.
Oh god, I've never heard of this game. Never even heard of this game in my whole life. So this is like a fully 3D graphic-y, amazing experience-y game?
No, it is pixely, I think. Or at least, you know, when I was playing it, I was like, well, you know, it's alright.
See, all the artwork that I've seen from it makes it look like it's almost watercolour.
Do you know what? The style's, like, really hard to describe. Like, it's obviously better than Final Fantasy VII's graphics, but it still has that pixel art feel to it.
Okay.
They've got, like, the depth of the scenes, like, really well, because obviously technology's moved on since then. But, yeah, it is your bog-standard pixel art game. You know, like Golden Sun, things like that, that came out on the Game Boy, very, very reminiscent of that. That's how it looks when you're playing the game. The box art is really lovely. But then again, I think they've always been really good with box art. The music's really good, as can be expected. It's just not blowing my socks off yet.
See, I don't get it. Right, so hello Adam Moses in the chat, by the way. We're talking about Octopath Traveler at the moment. We're going to go through a whole bunch of games on this podcast, but at the moment we're talking about Octopath Traveler, which Squeenix game, right? So I get pixel art, 2D, flat, novelty kind of games from an indie studio. But from Squeenix?
It's
like, you kind of, I don't know.
It's been from a bit... there, like...
Oh, they have got... They do indie dev support, though, don't they?
Yeah.
Is that from that?
I have no clue.
Yeah. They've got, like, a program of indie dev support, or like, they publish games under the Squeenix brand that are from indie developers. So that might be this. That might be what this is. All right, look. So at the moment, how far are you into this game?
About 4 hours or so.
And not really loving it so much?
To be fair... I'm a bit of a grinder, so I'm like, I'm just going to go out and kill loads of animals.
and so then I'll come back and play Octopath Traveler.
with a whole passel of dead squirrels.
Here's what I caught earlier. I've been through like two of the characters' like first chapters of their stories. The cleric woman and the beastmaster woman. Who I really like, which is why I picked her first. But I don't know. I don't think the writing is up my street. But then again, I've read worse. it's not like Silmarillion levels of heavy, but still, it's pretty like okay.
So for your beginning exclamation, right, when you said about this game, Octopath Traveler, and then this is like. That was like the peak of the piece, right? And this is sloped way downhill since then. And this is coming from the person who has somehow managed to make some of the most batshit crazy games that I've ever heard of sound appealing. Like, I actually went and played a game in which you date pigeons because of this person.
I have no regrets. No regrets.
So if you can make a game in which you date pigeons...
Yeah.
Like, not pigeon, not one, multiple pigeons appealing, and yet this, a game by Square Enix, sounds kind of flat. Yeah, I'm not so into it.
Yeah.
But give it a bit more time. Yeah. We'll see what it goes into. Grind into it a little bit longer, come back.
We'll
and
see.
See. Yeah.
We'll
that
see
grind
if it's
into
got...
it wasn't meant to, came out probably a little bit worse than And in my defense, you brought grinding up first.
I did.
I think we need to move along. Right. No, what's this with the bubblehead? Right. Don't spit you.
I'm trying not to. It's tea.
Oh, that one's tea. Yeah. This isn't the stuff that you've been swigging at work, no? Right, okay. So, Lewis, do you have a game that you've been playing recently that you want to talk about this week?
Yes.
Is it good?
It's Borderlands 2.
Oh, okay. So, yes. But it's Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
So, this is because of the announcement that Borderlands 3 is now a thing, right?
Yes.
And you decided that you wanted to go back, but not to Borderlands 1?
No, because I've got the... Well, I own 1, 2, and the pre-sequel are, like, physical box copies, but I've got the Handsome Collection, which...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Weirdly, is only 2 and the pre-sequel. Don't know why.
Doesn't come with the first game?
No.
Maybe they were ashamed.
They shouldn't be ashamed of the first game. It's fantastic.
I know. Yeah.
But, yeah, I've been back and played that. I don't really remember a lot of it, so I'm like, it's kind of like playing it again for the first time. Yeah, it's Borderlands 2. Like, there's not so much you can say about it.
This is a bit of a problem, because I went back. I love Borderlands, don't get me wrong. I love Borderlands, and I love Borderlands 2. I can't remember. I can't tell the two apart.
No.
I can't remember what happened in one and what happened in two.
Yeah.
And actually, I have problems remembering which characters were in which game as well.
Yeah.
So I know that there was a dude who was called Zero with the sword, and I know there was a dude who was called, like, Malachi, who had the bird thing.
They're both in the first game.
And then there was a tiny Mexican fella
that had guns.
Zero's in the
second one as well, though, isn't he?
And then there was Brick.
He was
and then
in the
there
first
was
game.
Lilith. Anyway, there was a load of people. And I can't remember. I just know that they're fantastic games. Now, I played both of them all the way through with friends, which... is fantastic. That really, I think, is the best way to play them. I have played them solo as well. I went back to play both of them again and played a chunk of the first game on my own. Probably partially because I was on my own, and also partially because I'd already done it once before. Yeah, I don't know. It's not, the replayability isn't there.
See, I quite enjoy playing them on my own.
Yeah.
It makes them a bit more of a...
RPG.
I don't know. Yeah, it makes them more difficult. Even if you're playing them on easy, it still increases the difficulty.
Yeah, it does. So, they are a little bit too easy when there's a bunch of you.
Yeah.
I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them. I love the Borderlands game. It's got everything that I want. It's got crazy shooting. It's got ridiculous black humor.
Yeah.
It's got exploding midgets. It's got, and the art style's fantastic. A couple of people
mentioned
it.
The stylistic choices are awesome.
Yeah, excellent. And the voice acting in the main is really good, and the scripting and everything is really good, considering it's crazy and stupid and over the top. It's brilliant, really, really good.
I love the character design as well, because they weren't afraid to put in like a whole bag, the whole spectrum of body types, which I love. Because I think you've got Ellie, who's like the mechanic woman in the desert.
Yeah.
Like, she's a tank. She's amazing. And then you've got the little girl who has
Tiny
like
Tina.
Tiny Tina.
Crazy
amazing.
Bitch.
I love Tiny Tina. So yeah, like just the whole. Yeah.
See, these are all amazing things that you remember, and like the intro sequences and everything are so amazingly done. I'm gonna jump into something that we need to talk about a bit later, actually, but because it segs really easily here, the trailer for the third game. So for anybody who hasn't seen this yet, and you probably have, they've now released a trailer. Would you call it a teaser trailer or an actual trailer for Borderlands 3? It's an actual trailer, right?
They've released two trailers. They released the actual trailer. At the Gearbox kind of conference on whatever day it was at PAX East, and then a couple of days before that they released a teaser trailer with like a load of, it was basically a psycho mask made up of a load of
which was pretty
characters
cool.
And yeah, so What trailer are you talking about?
The one that's got gameplay in it. Right, the one that isn't just the characters and stuff like that. So, now, this might just be me. That was a crap trailer. It was rubbish. Considering all of the amazing stuff that Borderlands has got in it, and we know that there's going to be black humour, we know that there's going to be stupid over-the-top craziness, if you just showed me the intro sequence to the first game as a trailer, with that amazing music in the background... Yeah. And it shows you all the characters, and it's got like the narrator, the Russian guy, giving you an intro to the game and exactly what's going on. That's a trailer. It's an intro to the game, but it's an amazing trailer. Surely they've got an intro to this game, which is hopefully equally as good. That should have been the trailer. But the one that they put in just shows like a load of weird gameplay, and in a couple of places it actually shows characters talking, but you don't hear any of the dialogue.
No. Well, one of the playable characters is going to be Tiny Tina, but not so tiny.
No!
Yeah, so...
Pre-Tina.
Oh!
Yeah.
So if they haven't used that, I swear.
That's terrible, but amazing.
Yeah, so when she's grown up a little bit. but chances are they're going to have the same kind of character classes as... the first game. So,
well, I thought the classes were quite different. I thought the classes were quite different between the first two games. I quite liked it. They weren't exactly the same. I found them, but the only problem was in the second game I really wanted Brick, because I just wanted to run in and punch people, because that's all everybody wants.
Yeah,
but as long as Moxie's in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So she will be, well, according to the Moxie trailer, she will be in the second game. The third game, sorry.
She is good. Deserving of the Johnny Bravo quote, oh, mama.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, right. So you've been playing Borderlands 2. It's still pretty good. You're enjoying it solo. Yeah? You reckon you're just going to stick to it for a little while, or are you going to go whole hog and go through it all the way through?
I'm probably going to play it through, but not... Like, if I haven't got anything to play, then I'll
go back to it.
And they've got the
filler game.
Yeah, and they've got the Ultra HD texture pack coming out at the time of recording in a few days. But by the time this comes out,
that happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So hang on. So this Ultra HD texture pack, that's for Borderlands 2. Is that right?
So that's for, on console, it's for the Handsome Collection or the first two. No, the second and third game.
Yep.
Or second and pre-sequel.
Second and pre-sequel, yep.
And then for PC, it is for the second and pre-sequel.
Okay. So, but they're also now releasing a remaster of the first game.
Yeah.
Which is different to the high-quality texture pack. Because presumably they're adding polygons.
Yeah. It's a Game of the Year edition, so they're adding... What was it? The phrase. Oh, so quality of life updates. Stuff that you had in the second and third games, they're now adding.
Okay.
To the.
So better inventory management and easier steering vehicles and easier looting and stuff like that.
Possibly. The only one that kind of springs to mind at the moment is the on-screen minimap.
Okay. Yeah.
Which you don't have in the first game.
This is really late in the day to be remastering a game that came out, what? A long time ago, right?
Probably 10 years ago.
2009 springs to mind for this game?
Oh, yeah, that is 10 years ago.
Mathematically, yes, it is, Elle. Feels like a Leonardo, I feel old too. it was a really long time. Well, he's going to check now, and it was going to be like 2016, isn't it?
To be fair, we have had those moments.
Yeah. Bang on the money. 2009.
Nice. If you hadn't said Gearbox earlier, though, I wouldn't have been able to tell you who published it. So, all right, okay.
We've spoken about actually.
Now, so right, so remastered first game, high quality texture pack for the second of the pre-sequel games, and a brand new game, Borderlands 3, going to be coming out this year. They announced when it's going to be coming out?
Probably. But they are releasing more information. the same day that the HD texture packs and the Game of the Year edition comes out.
Okay,
which
cool.
is in a few days.
Get a better trailer. If anybody from Gearbox is ever watching this, get a better trailer. That trailer was poor.
But yeah, don't give too much away. They do that so much in trailers these days. Just enough. Well,
that's something that I didn't realise until recently, was how heavily the music features, or how heavily the music adds to the game. So, like, the intro to the first two games are incredible. Actually, and the third game. So, hopefully they carry on.
Hopefully the intro is fantastic. I want that stylization. That's what I want. Because it wasn't just the art style, it wasn't just the dialogue, it was the music, the dialogue, the art style, the direction. Because it was directed like a TV show or a movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Just that. I started playing Borderlands, and I'd never seen the intro to it before. And that intro starts playing, and you've got the little scrag thing or whatever it is, and then the bus comes past. And it's just... And I'm watching that going, yeah, I love this game already. I just love this game. And that just takes you straight into it. And you've got fucking Toaster Wheel. What's he called?
Claptrap.
Yeah. That's him. Claptrap, who is fantastic. And really well voiced, and drives you through the entire thing. Gets a bit irritating after a while, but pretty much hilarious all the way through. If they have Claptrap as a playable character, I am in.
Yeah.
100% in. I like the idea of upgrading him. Like, he gets a bigger wheel or something like that. That'd be great. And it just Gearbox.
A secondary dealy bopper antenna.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're kind of going off
fully Borderlands,
we're kind of going down the Borderlands route, but so they also announced a Borderlands card game, which is Tiny Tina's Tea Party.
I am 300% in.
It's gonna be wrong, isn't it?
It's so really bad.
Well, no, because I don't really know. The only bit that they really showed of it was you have to build your own Claptrap unit.
I'm in again.
so you everyone gets given a base kind of Claptrap torso. Yep.
Okay,
card, and then you have to collect so you draw cards from a deck, and you have to collect different parts to finish your Claptrap unit. So, like, Gentleman Claptrap, Pirate Claptrap. Whatever the other ones were as well.
Do you know who's, like, producing it or developing it for them?
I don't. I can have a quick look.
We're going to have to find out about all this stuff. Look, we're going to have to move away from Borderlands, because we've spoken about Borderlands loads. I am interested to know when the board game or the card game is coming out, though. But
I think it's already out.
What?
Weird. Hang on.
They've gone all in. Like, we haven't heard anything about Borderlands in so long. And then suddenly they're like, fucking Borderlands all over your face. Everywhere.
Yeah.
I love how I can tell when you two are Googling instead of watching us, because it's just like white face lit up.
Yeah, so if you want to buy it, it's a whole £35. Oh, sorry, it's Tiny Tina's Robot Tea Party.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah. Announced 3 days ago. This article was written 3 days ago, I should say.
Right, while we're researching about board games, I just want to quickly say hello to people in the chat. Hello to Hailey and Ryan and Adamuzus, who have both been talking in the chat, and I know there's a few other people in there. We apologise if we don't talk to you straight away when you ask us a question, because we're going to roll through the pod, because we're going to release this as an audio podcast as well, so we're going to roll through, so we don't need to interrupt too much, and then we will, at a decent interval, stop and have a quick chat with you guys and carry on going. So we're not ignoring you completely, we're just tactically ignoring you temporarily. I hope that's okay. Right.
So, Tiny Tina's Robot Tea Party comes out on April 4th, and it's published by Gearbox Software, Nerdvana Games, and XYZ Game Labs.
Yeah.
XYZ Game Labs, I know them. I don't know why I know them, but I know them. I know you.
And it'll be $20 in the States, so it'll probably be about 20 quid.
Okay, I'm in. I love little card games and stuff like that, especially if they're linked to stuff that I like, franchises that I like. But we're, like, cracking that Exploding Kittens and stuff when you've got a few people over and having a few beers is always good.
Werewolf is always the classic. Good. Always bring out Werewolf. That's the one.
Oh, I've not tried that. Oh. Zombie dice.
Nah, Werewolf
Zombie
man.
Dice. It's the classic. Right then. I'm going to talk about something.
What you talking
and it
about,
is
Rich?
Not Apex.
Ooh.
And it is also not Division 2. But it is also not new, and we have spoken about it before.
Is it VR?
Is it
no,
Firewatch?
It's not VR. It's not Firewatch. It's not VR. Although I have been playing. We streamed some Mixed Reality Beat Saber earlier, me and Drew, with the green screen up and everything, and I streamed my kids playing Mixed Reality Beat Saber as well.
Why did it look like you were wearing a white gimp suit?
So, that's wearing a white gimp. Was that going to be followed by a suit?
No, I say a suit.
Yeah,
oh,
I
right,
heard
like,
it.
You cut off.
A suit.
Oh, okay, I thought it cut off. That was, firstly, that was Drew. That wasn't me. And it was just, he had a very well-blended top going with his bottoms. But he changed his shirt for a t-shirt because Beat Saber is not shirt material.
No
we did some of that earlier, which is great fun. But it's not that I'm going to talk about either. Do you remember, which I know you do, back at EGX, we played a game called Tricky Towers.
Yeah, we did.
No, what is this Tricky Towers? Tell me about it, Richard.
Well, Lewis, since you can't remember, Tricky Towers is a multiplayer, either online or local, Tetris-alike, in which you play different mini-games. Some of them are like building a tall tower. Some of them you've got like a certain number of lives. Some of them are puzzles where you've got to match things up. And you battle against the other people that you're playing with. You can have up to four people on the screen. It is available on PC and on Switch. I've just bought it for the Switch today, and I've been playing it with the kids, and we took it over to my parents' house for Mother's Day, and we had everybody playing on it. The great thing about it is, even though it's a Tetris-alike, it has physics. So if you put a block kind of like overlapping another block like this, and it's like off to one side, it will pull the other blocks down, and your whole tower can tip. With hilarious results. It is, and you've also got like a kind of similar to Mario Kart, you get like attacks, and you can either use like beneficial magic to help yourself or attack magic, which is what everybody does, to attack everybody else. It's brilliant. As a party game, it's so good. I know that we enjoyed it at EGX, and I knew the kids were going to like it, and I have got it on PC, but it's available on Switch, which is just so easy because you've got the little Joy-Cons, and everybody's got one that's dead easy to play. So I took it over to my parents' house, and we had like nine or so people there, and everybody was playing on it more, in fact, and everybody loved it. It's so easy to get into, and it's just so funny to watch, especially when people have no idea what's going on and they're just tipping blocks all over the freaking place. It's really, really good. It's worth bringing back up again because it's one of those things that you kind of throw away play, so you play it and then you move on. But if you're ever into couch gaming, if you ever have people come over to your house and you play some couch games, especially if you've got a Switch, definitely get this game. It's like
not if
13
I can help
quid it. Or something. What, have people over or get a Switch?
Well, have people over.
It is really good fun. Really, really good. So it's like this, I would say this over Overcooked.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You've got people coming over. Because Overcooked is great fun, but it is like fully cooperative. And so, if one person's just, like, had too many drinks and is fucking up, yeah, it ain't that fun.
We've got a child in the group.
So you got just one person running around with a fire extinguisher spinning in circles or throwing plates and stuff all over the place. And then everybody else gets wound up. Yeah. It's quite high intensity.
Yeah, same with Catastronauts.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. So because Tricky Towers is just, like, each to their own, it's very like Gang Beasts, yeah? It doesn't matter if you mess up because the games are so short that you go straight into another game. It's not level-based. It doesn't matter that you're not advancing together. This and Gang Beasts are my go-to party games when people come over. So really, really love it. Tricky Towers. I think I paid about £13 for it, which is on the high side, I must admit. But that was on the Nintendo eShop. Well, you might be able to get it cheaper somewhere else.
Well, is it, though? £13 for how many people
it's
played
a great
it today?
Game.
How many people played it today, and like how much enjoyment did those people get?
Yeah,
from
a
it?
Lot. So, and three other people in the room have Switches. So three of the people in the room where we were playing Half Switch had never seen it before. Yeah. And they've also said they're going to go off and buy it now as well.
Yeah.
So it is good.
We'll wait for our check in the post.
Thank you very much. I think we hit all the points that were on the document there, didn't we, Lewis?
There we go.
£5 per word as well, Al, so we're well in. I do love the game. Right, okay. That's pretty much me out, because like I have nothing else new or interesting to talk about. So, Elle, do you have another game that you would like to talk about this week?
No, I'm drip-feeding you. One a podcast.
One a pod? Oh, no.
One a pod.
Okay, Lewis, anything else?
No, I...
Nothing?
I purchased Faith 1 off the back of what Elle said about Faith.
Oh, yeah.
Last week. But I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Oh, so. Well, I'm so excited for you.
So please stream it. I got some games, but I haven't played them yet. So we'll see. Next week, hopefully.
I am going to do a silly purchase.
What are you going to buy?
I don't know if you've seen the game Shadows Die Twice. Is it says?
Sekiro.
Oh, Sekiro or whatever.
Shakira. Do.
For a game about ninjas that don't have lying hips.
I've been pining after something in the Onimusha vein for years. I don't think I'm going to get it, so I'm going to grasp onto
everything that has an oriental person with a sword in it.
Basically.
That might just about fill the void.
It may.
Is it not Dark Souls-y?
Probably.
Is it Dark Souls-y, or I misread that?
I feel like most people are complaining.
It was made by FromSoft, who are the guys behind Dark Souls and Bloodborne. But by all accounts, it plays a lot more fluidly than Dark Souls.
Because Dark Souls played like a piece of piss.
No. Apparently, it's really difficult. So I've been.
No, I didn't mean like fluid. I meant like in terms of like fluid movement, combat, and all the rest.
Oh,
of it.
Yeah.
Dark Souls was clunky as bollocks. Mm.
Do you remember the game that came out on the PlayStation 2, which was all about like your timing of like blocks and hitting attacks? It was a very
Demon's Souls.
Batman Arkham Asylum?
No, that you had like a samurai. I think it was a samurai, and then you had this monk.
Tenchu?
No, I don't think it was Tenchu. Was a stealth monk, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were two characters. There was like a samurai, and then there was a massive monk fella that you could play as well. Research for Elle. Find out what crazy games that you used to play, because that game was fucking incredible. So I'm hoping it's like in that vein, because it was so difficult. I spent ages on it back in the day. So maybe that'll be up my street.
Go back to an old game. Okay, but you got this Sekiro Shadows
Die
Twice.
Shakira.
So we go. We're not. Oh my god! I wonder if she's licensed that. Oh, my hips don't lie, and I've got a big sword now. Right. Sorry about that. We need to talk about news because I've got nothing else to talk about. I've got no other games to talk about, and we don't normally talk about news. So I'm not going to make this a whole segment thing in which people go, "You don't normally talk about news," but I have news that I want to talk about. Valve. Well, I want to talk about it. Can I talk about it? Do you want to talk about something different?
No. What I was going to say is. We have spoken about news.
Yeah,
before.
We used to.
We have spoken about it. We used to. We've gone off
for
it a
while.
Little bit.
Yeah.
No, we've gone off it a little bit because we're not a news podcast. And we used to be quite infrequent. And also, there was no idea when our podcasts were going to be coming out. So it's entirely possible that the news would be like 4 months out of date by the time it actually reached anybody's ears. But right now, we are streaming this live. So this is right on the money. Right, I'm gonna hit up One Piece because I can't have the document up because I'm streaming. So I can't read the document. There's one piece that I can remember and that I want to talk about. Is that all right if I go ahead with that?
Mm-hmm.
Valve did a thing. They did a thing that I was hoping that they were going to do, but also it's potentially bad, but it's also hopefully really good. So for anybody who has listened to the podcast before and knows the kind of games and stuff that I play a lot of VR and stream a lot of VR. And I have a HTC Vive and I love it. I think it's fucking amazing. Valve have teased and shown for quite a long time that they are working on something called Knuckles. So this is a replacement controller for, presumably at the time we thought, the Vive, which they worked with HTC to build. So Valve and HTC worked together, built the Vive. HTC are knobs. Like giant, big old fucking knobs. And they've made a load of fucking annoying mistakes with VR in general, and they're pissing a lot of people off, and they're terrible customer service, and they're all just bad, bad people. And while they're all in the middle of going to hell, Valve have been working on other stuff. And they, one of these things is a Knuckles controller. So the controller for the HTC Vive at the moment, or the controllers, the Move controllers, they're just like these two sticks with buttons on them and a hole in the top that nobody really knows what it's for, but it's presumably a penis. And you waggle them around and you click on the buttons. Now, Oculus's controllers have got this Halo thing on them, which allows you to remove all your fingers by your thumb and kind of move your fingers around. And inside the games, it can sense your finger movements, kind of like a Leap Motion. Which means you can do things like typing on a virtual keyboard within the virtual world and stuff like that. So Valve have been working on knuckle controllers, which is basically a controller very similar to the one that we already have, but it straps to your hand. So you can completely let go of it with all fingers, including your thumb, and it senses your finger location. So it's got all the buttons on it, and it can sense your hands. So you can do all of the presumably lewd stuff that you want to do inside VR games. Now, they've been showing this. We've seen quite a lot of these, and we've seen a couple of different prototypes. A few months ago, somebody posted on Reddit some secret shots of some unknown device that nobody had seen before, which everybody basically thought was a Valve-branded and created virtual reality headset. It wasn't substantiated, it wasn't supported or backed up by Valve. We didn't really have any information about specs or anything. We just had these pictures. Valve dropped a image... And literally, it's just a picture of a new VR headset that nobody's seen before called the Valve Index. And that is all they've done. It's just a website that's just got this one picture on it, and it says Valve Index. There is no more information, apart from the fact that it is coming in May, was it?
Yes.
Somebody's going to need to bring the website up. Yeah, it just says, upgrade your experience. May 2019. Now, a load of news sites around the internet have basically said that it is coming May 2019. Like, nobody's seen this thing, right? So they're just going to release it in May.
Can you imagine? They're doing a Beyonce, just like, I released it, you can deal with all the marketing.
So, so we don't know anything about it. We don't know anything, but I'm fucking really excited. And I possibly shouldn't be, because it could be a bag of crap, but Valve have essentially fucked off HTC for this. They've gone, do you know what? You're a bunch of knobs. You brought out the Vive Pro, which is just the biggest money grab piece of crap piece of equipment in the entire history of everything. It is so overwhelmingly expensive for such a small upgrade to the Vive. It is 100% not worth it. Not worth spending the money. Unless... you've got like a really specific reason for getting it. And now they're working on this other stuff, the Cosmos or whatever they're called. And I'm not going to buy any of that shit. Because now I know that Valve are doing something, and hopefully it's going to be fantastic. Now, the only thing that's going to make me a bit sad is these knuckle controllers, which I've been really waiting for. If they release the Index, and the only way you can get knuckle controllers is by buying the Index with a bundle, that'll be kind of sucky. Because I might just want to buy the controllers on their own and not have to upgrade my headset, because presumably that's going to be an awful lot of money. But we're going to have to see. But it's a big thing. I'm really excited. It hopefully is going to change VR quite a lot. They've done a thing with the lenses, supposedly, that is new and shiny and amazing that you guys clearly don't care about, but it is really good. He's shaking his head. It's a good thing, El. It's a lens thing.
I think I can get behind... Like, Valve have made some good things in the past... I think
they've made some tosh.
They have made some tosh, but I respect the moxie behind, like, yeah, here's a picture. Fucking get excited about it. Like, that's great. That's fucking great.
Yeah, that's basically it. Just like, fuck a lot of you, because nothing really exciting is coming out, or we don't know that anything really exciting is coming out. The only thing that confused me slightly is we've just had GDC. We didn't see anything about this at all at GDC. You would have thought that would be exactly... Game Developers Conference. They're making a brand new VR headset and they want people to make games for it. Why weren't they at GDC? Surely they want to get developers on board with this thing. And then the last thing is it has now been strongly hinted that this is going to be coming out with at least two games made by Valve themselves.
Oh my God! Don't even start!
Bear in mind that Valve have made only a handful, or maybe two moderately sized handfuls of games in the entire history of Valve, right? Now, apparently one of them is a Half-Life game.
You are fucking yanking our chain.
This would be... It's not going to be Half-Life 3. I almost guarantee you it's not going to be Half-Life 3. It's more than likely going to be an experience in the Half-Life universe or something similar. But
Half-Life
if they brought
adjacent.
Out Half... Sorry?
Half-Life adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I reckon.
I got the clawed hands of Need. And now they're like, oh yeah, right then.
There's two real problems. Firstly, I don't think that Valve can ever release Half-Life 3. I think it's been so hyped for so long now that whatever they release,
it's going to be
disappointing. It's never going to live up to the expectation that people have got. Mm. But secondly, they release Half-Life 3 for VR only? Fuck me. That is possibly one of the worst marketing things that they could possibly do. Everybody would lose their bollocks.
I would totally buy a thing. I'm not going to lie.
They'll be like, oh, did they? Okay.
One of your things, please.
I will have one of those. And I will have that game. Thank you. I reckon it's going to be either a little experience or it's going to be possibly a prequel, or they're going to have remastered Half-Life 1 or 2 or both into VR games. That's my thought. That's what I think it's going to be. But we don't know yet, because for some reason they're remaining incredibly tight-lipped and presumably relying on the fact that they're Valve and they can pretty much do whatever they want and they don't need to worry about marketing anything because people will buy it. But they're not Apple. So,
thank goodness.
And they don't have an incredibly good history of making their own hardware. The Steam controller was a bag of shit. A bag of crap. By the way, I've got a Steam controller if anybody wants to buy one.
They're shit.
Literally no one. The Steam Link was okay, though.
The Steam Link was okay, but it had, like, such a small use case. And it was okay. Like, okay is the best word I can use for it. It wasn't great. Anything that had any kind of pace or performance requirement, it wasn't brilliant at. So...
But maybe they've learned from all those failures. Maybe they'll take those failures and they will build a success out of them. Who knows?
That's what I'm hoping. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm not going to talk about, but there's all kinds of exciting things. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, then I do go out and have a look at it. If you're waiting for a VR headset, or if you didn't want to buy the current generation of VR headsets, I think this is probably going to be the one to watch out for. We don't know how much it's going to cost, so it could end up dropping the £1,500 bomb on everybody, which will just fuck the entire thing right up. But if we're lucky, if it's got all the exciting things in it that we think that it's going to have, like dual lenses, a really wide field of view, the knuckle controllers, all kinds of these cool things, inside-out tracking.
Looking at the information, it says it's going to have 135-degree field of view.
Yep.
Instead of 110 degrees. Fuck knows what that's supposed to mean in real life, but
just means this is what we can see at the minute, and this is what we'll be able to see with the new one. That's the idea.
Okay.
That's kind of the point. Yeah. So you can kind of turn your eyes a bit. At the moment, with the Vive and the Oculus Rift, if you turn your eyes, which actually you don't do all that often, you actually turn your head. But if you just turn your eyes, you quite quickly see the black ring of the lens edge that you're looking through.
Right.
And it's almost the first thing that everybody does when they put on a VR headset. They put it on and they go like this. I can see the edge of it. I can see the lens casing, right? And that's your immediate reaction is, I can see the fucking lens casing. This is a bag of bollocks. I did it when I got mine. In fact, I did it when I went in one before I bought mine. But the thing is, you quickly learn that when you're in the game, you don't do that. Nobody does that. Nobody sits there moving their eyes around and keeping their head completely still. You move your head. That's what you do, right? So hopefully it's going to be fantastic. I don't fucking know. So we're going to move on from that. There needs to be, unless you guys have got any questions or anything you want to talk about the Valve Index.
No.
Don't fuck it up, Valve. Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up. And don't fucking bring out Half-Life 3 for VR only, because that would be the worst thing. I mean, I'd play it.
It's got to be accessible to the people.
I would laugh from on high at all those Luddites that don't have a VR headset. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it would be murder for your brand. It's a bad, bad idea. But... let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up. Another piece of news. We need another piece of news, and we've already done the Borderlands thing, so we can't do the Borderlands thing anymore. Yeah. Lewis, do you have another piece of news that you want to talk about?
So, speaking of new hardware, there has been the Mega Drive Mini.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like people have never heard of Raspberry Pis.
I'm really not that bothered about it. It's due out in September. It's got 10 confirmed games so far. It's going to have 40 games available to play.
And it'll be what, like release. 75 quid?
Yeah, 75, 80 quid.
And how many controller ports will it have on it?
Two. So there's
I call shenanigans. The only reason to play a Mega Drive is Micro Machines. And the only reason to have Micro Machines is if you've got four people. And with the original Mega Drive, the cartridge, because the original Mega Drive only had two controller ports. Yeah. So on the original Mega Drive, the cartridge had two controller ports in it. This is, for anybody who is not old enough, like is not an old fucker like us, right? The cartridge had two controller ports in it. Do you have any idea how crazy that is? Can you imagine buying a Switch game right now that sticks slightly out the top of the Switch and has got a controller port in it? It's just cracking crazy. It's just fucking stupid. It was so good, though. Sorry, carry on. You were saying something.
Yeah, so I was reading that there's going to be two different models. One with one controller and another with two controllers. So...
Yeah. Oh, well, we're so spoilt for choice.
Yeah.
Thank you, non-Sega. I don't get these. Am I the only one that doesn't get these?
No.
Why?
I mean, I've spoken about my contempt for... Well, not contempt, but my dislike of retro and old games in the past. So, like, I genuinely don't see the appeal in stuff like the NES and the NES and SNES Mini and the PlayStation Mini. Like, it doesn't do it for me.
No. There's one good use case, in my opinion. Being a father. Kids nowadays got too fucking easy, man. Got too easy. They don't know they're born, right? So, my kids, they're terrible for this. Games, especially games that are aimed at kids nowadays, you can't fucking die, right? You die... And you immediately respawn like 5 feet behind where you were before.
Yeah.
Everybody you'd killed is already dead. You have infinite retries, infinite lives. There is just no penalty for fucking it up. Mm-hmm. Whereas back on the NES days and all the rest of it, and I'm not saying, you know, that I wish torment and pain on my children at the moment, but I think that it builds character, right? We had a certain number of lives and you had to earn more of them by collecting whatever it was in the game. And you had a certain number of continues, even. So even if you lost all your lives, you had a continue, you got three more lives, but you could run out of those too. So I kind of, like, with this, I got my kids an NES, I said this a while ago, and they played Mario and Chippendale Rescue Rangers and all of these kind of things. And it was hard, but they pushed through it, because I made them, and they got good scrub, but also they got used to losing. They got kind of used to not always getting everything that they wanted all the time and having to try hard to get something. So kind of from that point of view, but I'm pretty sure that this is not, these things are not aimed at parents who want to punish their children into understanding the moral righteousness of earning something.
No, they're cash grabs.
Yeah, that's essentially what they are.
That notwithstanding, there is already a Mega Drive Mini on the market, which has been made by another third party, which reportedly has poor build quality and a slightly limited selection. I think it only has like 18 or 20 games on it. So,
The thing I found really funny about the Nintendo one is it turned out that it was an emulator. It was a ROM runner. It was an emulator, right? And somebody worked out that you could break into the damn thing and actually load ROMs.
Was that the Nintendo one, or was that the
I'm pretty
Sony
sure it
one?
Was the Nintendo one. No, I think it was in the NES one.
No, it was the Sony Classic, the PlayStation Classic,
was it?
Or the PlayStation Mini. Yeah.
I was sure that it was a Nintendo one, but I will bow down.
Because it used USB controllers, if you plugged in a USB keyboard and hit enter or escape on the keyboard when it was powering on, you could go into debug mode and then you could sideload other games. But yeah, it was that, for all intents and purposes, was a just a Raspberry Pi with, well, kind of.
Something similar to it, right?
Yeah, something similar with a... it was actually running open-sourced emulation software.
It's just...
It wasn't even using its own...
£75. This is what pisses me off, right? £75. There is just no need... That is such a high price tag. You can buy a Raspberry Pi for £20.
Well, you could buy all of the stuff for less. So RetroPie, so Raspberry Pi, the software and a case and the hardware and whatnot, for less than it would cost to buy most of these consoles.
Although, in fairness, I must say, you do get controllers with these things. And that's you don't get that with the Raspberry Pi. Like, you would have to buy controllers separately, and also you own a legal copy of the game.
But how much? Not that I'm condoning pirating, but how much are a couple of USB controllers? Not very expensive.
I don't know the rules, right? If you still own an NES or a SNES or something like that, and you own the cartridge copies of these games, is it illegal to play a ROM'd version of it on a different device within your house? I don't know.
You know what? I think
I don't care.
I don't think the law's caught up to digital downloads these days. Because
for like legacy stuff, stuff that came out years ago that they're technically not making any money out of anymore.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. Does anybody have anything else that they want to talk about the Mega Drive Mini, small, £75, extremely expensive thing that's not going to have very many games on it?
No.
Your price is too damn high.
Your price is goddamn too high. More news.
More news.
More news. L news. L news me.
Oh. So, I haven't seen this, but apparently there's going to be a Streets of Rage 4.
A Streets of Rage what? Oh no, she cut off.
Oh.
Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I did know about that. Wait, did I not know about that? Because they did a new Streets of Rage not too long ago, didn't they? I say not too long ago, like within the last couple of years. That had new graphics. Was that Streets of Rage 3?
HD remake. Maybe.
Was it a HD remake of 4?
Oh.
Is it alright for me to say that I don't care? Is that alright? Can I say that I don't care?
Yeah. You're allowed, yeah.
I don't care.
Are any of us excited for this? It looks alright.
Yeah, it looks good. The kind of early reviews are looking pretty good. I wasn't that fussed about Streets of Rage, so.
To be fair,
is it 3D or is it 2D again?
It's 2D from what I can see on the little images and GIFs that they have.
See. I love Streets of Rage. Like, back at the time, it was of its time, right? I loved Streets of Rage. Final Fight, also. The Turtles game that I can't remember the freaking name of. That entire format of, like, side-scrolling, co-op, four-player beat-em-up.
Yeah.
Brilliant. At the time that it existed, fucking loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. But you can't just keep remaking these same things, right? You can't just... It's not like Street Fighter. It's not like a fighting game where basically the format stays the same for the entire time. It's just get new characters and more spectacle and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
You need something new. Somebody needs to do something with these types of games. And I think they kind of tried to do something similar with the Fist of the North Star game.
Yeah.
That we played at EGX last year. But that was shit. So, that didn't pan out so well. It also wasn't co-op, so I don't think it really counts. I'd love to see something cool done in this kind of genre, but I don't think this is it. If it's still 2D and it's still basically Streets of Rage, then
yeah, okay. I think it's got to bring something different to the table. Because I know we all have our games that we will go back to and that we sink hundreds of hours into. But once we've kind of done that and we've sunk those hours in, which I'm sure many people have done with Streets of Rage, you can only rely on nostalgia so much. Like, you need to have something fresh and interesting in order to put that time and effort back into it. I don't know.
Exactly that. We spoke last podcast about going back to games that we played like WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just a remastered version of that. This is just going back to the same game that you played in your childhood that you really loved, but with better graphics.
Yeah.
The problem is, things are of their time. They don't necessarily translate. Fucking Pong was incredible when it first came out. I don't care how much you remaster that shit. It is not going to be relevant now. So don't try. People are going to buy it, I'm sure, and people are going to love it. Streets of Rage was always a fantastic format, and it was enjoyable. But I'm not bothered.
No, me neither.
You're right, Al, you made a little noise there.
I did a hiccup.
That was a hiccup, was it? It sounded a little bit like you popped.
Alas,
just a little bit.
And it wasn't from excitement for Streets of Rage 4 either. So
no, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
More power to you. If you love Streets of Rage and you're going to be excited about this, which I'm sure a lot of people are, then fine. I'm not pissing on any of your chips. You are welcome to those well-aged chips. But
yeah,
I'm not bothered. Need something new.
Yeah.
So moving on.
Speaking of something new, they have released a trailer and announced a kind of follow-up to the Wolfenstein series. So this is Wolfenstein Young Blood.
I'm in.
And it looks amazing.
So this is one of the games... I decided this week that I am being a bit of a boring bastard, especially when it comes to the podcast. So I decided that rather than just playing Apex Legends, Beat Saber and Division all the time, that I need to play something different that I haven't yet played. So I've got something to talk about. So I got Wolfenstein New Colossus, which is the new Wolfenstein, or the latest new Wolfenstein, right? I'm not a massively like Wolfensteinable. The last time I played a Wolfenstein game was Return to... What was the 3D remakey newish one that is not anywhere near new now? Was it Return to Castle Wolfenstein? Or was that like Wolfenstein 2? I can't remember. Anyway, the 3D one that had like the kind of occult Tesla powered grotesquery Nazi abomination things. But it was so good. It was really, really cool and I really enjoyed it. But the newer ones, because they did Wolfenstein New Order, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which I think we played at EGX 2013, and it was like, meh, I wasn't so bothered about it.
Yeah.
But then they brought out Wolfenstein, this one, which I just said the name of and I forgot about, New Colossus. Which is the one that had the scene with the dude in the milkshake shop. That's right, isn't it?
No idea.
Okay,
there was this whole scene, this whole like really intense scene with your character when you're in like a diner. And a Nazi-ish person walks in and starts grilling you about some kind of stuff and talking about milkshakes, and it's apparently really cool. That's the one I think I've got. And if I've got the milkshake game, then I'm going to be pretty happy. So hopefully next week I'm going to play the milkshake Wolfenstein game, and then I can come back and talk about that. But this is not that game. This is a whole new one. Do you know much about it? Have we seen anything about it, really?
Yeah, so they kind of give a rough overview of the game. It's set in the 1980s, so post-Second World War. Obviously, you play as either one or both of BJ Blazkowicz's daughters, so it's going to be the main character in all the previous Wolfenstein games.
Cool.
So you play as either one or both of his daughters. You can
Bella Blazkowicz and Bernadette Blazkowicz.
No, I can't remember what their names are, but
if only someone loves a bit of alliteration.
You can play the game co-op, which I think is a first for a Wolfenstein game.
I believe it's a first. I couldn't be 100% sure, but yeah.
They have gone down the same route as A Way Out. So there's going to be two versions or two types of release. Okay. There's going to be the standard edition, which is, I think, about $30. Okay. And you can play it through on your own, or there's going to be the deluxe edition, which you get a buddy pass, so you can play it with other people like you did with...
Do we have any idea of cost for that one?
I think it's going to be like a tenner more, or $10
so
more.
See, that's cool. That's fine. So rather than two of you having to spend $30, $60, mathematically... Yeah. You only spend 40 between you. You can split it if you want to, and you can both play it together. This is a similar or a slight morphing of the way that A Way Out did it, which only one of you had to buy the game, and the other one could download the demo and then play it with you. Love it. I hope more games do this.
I think it's because you can play this single player as well as multiplayer or co-op, rather.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas A Way Out, you had to play co-op.
So
yeah.
Me and Ross are looking forward to it. We're definitely going to pick it up. And
I know Ross
is
well into this. He's loved the previous Wolfenstein games, hasn't he? Because I don't know much about the Wolfenstein games. I've got to be perfectly honest. But he was like effervescing in the chat. I was like, oh, they're really gory and they're fucking really good. So we're going to get in there. I love a Nazi game. Another game where you get to punch a Nazi. That's all cool. And I really like the whole the Nazis won the Second World War thing. That whole genre is... No, I'm not... Elle, I'm not suggesting that I would be as good as they had.
I was just like... Mm.
I feel like maybe that got away from me a little
bit. Out of context quotes.
I know what you're talking about. Like, an alternate timeline.
Yeah, like Man in the High Castle kind of thing, right? They won the Second World War, and this is now an alternate timeline that is based in that. Very similar to kind of Fallout, which is a kind of retro alternate timeline starting back in the 40s when things changed and then coming all the way up.
It's terrifying when you think of it, but it's so interesting to live through those kind of scenarios, isn't it?
I like the idea. It's a bit of a richly untapped vein. And I think it's really, 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 really cool. So, I'm into this and I do kind of want to play it. And if you want to shoot some Nazis with me, and have milkshakes.
I mean,
I think there might be milkshakes in this game as well. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but if there are milkshakes...
Do they bring all the boys to the yard?
I would imagine they bring all the Nazis to the yard. Which is probably...
I'd be down for that.
I think they have girl Nazis too now.
I am down for that. Let us...
I already pointed that out. Both the main protagonists are female because they are...
Daughters. Which is typically how that happens.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about this BJ Blazkowicz person or the Blazkowicz family lineage at all, to be honest. So I wasn't 100% sure. I'm going to read up about this. And I'm also going to play the new Colossus game. And will be able to talk about it. And it will be a game that isn't the other games that I've been playing repeatedly on loop. So, are we done with that game? Excellent. Are there other things? I cannot stop giving thumbs up. I'm like feel compelled while we're on camera to repeatedly give thumbs up. But now we're fine. Are we done with all the news-related stuff that we wanted to talk about this week?
Yep.
Elle is pulling a face.
I'm like
maybe there is surprise news that I wasn't aware of.
No, it's all good.
Which is like all the news because I don't have the document open, so I wasn't aware of any of it. Okay, good. I did it again. God damn it. Right. I think we need to bring this podcast to a close. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 90. As I said at the beginning, we are a couple of hair's breadth away from 100. At the rate that we release podcasts, we will be there in roughly 2021, which I'm really excited about. So, episode one, there will be a party, a build-up. Yeah. If we bring out one episode every 3 months, we could be there in, like, a really long time, which is exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
So, we are, in fact, going to be back pretty soon with another podcast, which might even be, like, in a few days, which is a bit silly for us. But we're racing headlong towards 100 now, and all of us want to make it there before one or more of us die of some health-related problem. You know? Because that would be really terrible if we didn't get to see episode 100. So, from me, my name is Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Z-E-B-W-E-N. You can find all of us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find us at ReadyPlayer2, that's TWO.co.uk, on the interweb web Facebook thing. You can also find us on the actual Facebook thing, which I cannot remember the link to, but it's like Facebook.com/ReadyPlayer2 or something. Yeah. But search for us. Alternatively, go to our Twitter, which is at ReadyP2, I said a minute ago, and the pinned tweet there has got a big long list of all of the stuff, all of the places online that you can find us. You can also find Elle specifically at
Escaping IRL.
And you can find Lewis
at Louis_Kong, as you can see on the stream.
I forgot that I put those there. See, look, we've got them all on the stream. But again, for the primarily audio component of this podcast, you can't see the screen. And if you're feeling sad about that in any way whatsoever, you should. But next time, come find us. Watch us live on Twitch, and you'll get to talk to us, like all these lovely people are right now on the Twitch channel. As we are done with the podcast, and I'm going to cut off in a minute, and Elle is going to give us a little rendition of the podcast outro tune, or the old podcast outro tune, we are then going to personally talk to all the people who are in the Twitch channel, and you people who are only listening in the audio podcast won't be involved. So there.
Or you.
I was waiting for a dramatic phrase then. Just like...
I hadn't thought that all the way through, I've got to be honest. So
or
next
you can
time,
watch
if
it
you
back
can,
on the YouTube.
So you will be able to watch it back either on Twitch or on YouTube, and you will get the full fat Rich's face and everybody else's face experience of Ready Player 2 live podcasts.
We're not
Thank
what you,
you
expect.
Very much. I mean, I'm kind of probably what everybody expects. I've got a ginger beard, I've got a mild flop sweat, and I'm overweight. So if that was what you imagined when you thought of me on the podcast, then exactly what you were looking for. Right. We're going to go. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching and listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 90. Good night.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.